Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another episode of PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host of the evening, Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg or all around the PW Torch lately. I was on Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks on Sunday. I was on the post show with Wade last night talking about Raw. And here I am tonight talking about NXT and our new NXT Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, defeating Tiffany Stratton tonight in our main event, which I did not necessarily see coming. Wade didn't necessarily see coming either. We both gave it a small percentage, like a small chance of happening. I think if memory serves, I said I gave it a 30% chance of happening and 70% chance of Tiffany retaining. So we certainly talked about it. I didn't necessarily think it was Tiffany's time to lose, but here we are. And I'm kind of okay with the way they did it here. Becky Lynch, she never did win the big one in NXT. She was, you know, one of those the four horsewomen. We had Becky, we had Sasha, Bailey, and Charlotte. And the rest of the three women, they won the NXT title. Becky Lynch never got the opportunity while she was in NXT. But I mean, she's won the Raw title, Raw and SmackDown titles many times here. Royal Rumble, I believe she was a Royal Rumble winner. They were listing off all of her accolades earlier tonight, but this is the NXT title was the one that she never won. So she came back to NXT to do just that. And beat Tiffany Stratton for it. I enjoyed the match. Like I said, definitely surprised by the finish. It's not very often anymore that I actually kind of like a match finish happens and I get out of my seat and I'm like, whoa, that was, you know, like, and I'm excited as a fan, you know. It's like, usually it's like, all right, cool. Like that was an awesome finish or something. But like, that actually invoked like a reaction out of me that I wasn't necessarily expecting. So I'm excited about it. I'm pumped up for it. Bruce, how do you feel about it?
So we were talking a bit before we started the call and that recently you haven't seen a lot of title changes among the major titles. We had the tag team championship, the men's one, change hands with Tony Daniels and Stax taking it, I think, at Battleground. You had Dominic Mysterio taken from Wesley, not either at the same event or not. Did Wesley lose at Battleground? You were there. You should remember.
It was not Battleground. It was Great America.
It was one of the two. So the main titles really haven't seen a change in a while. And with the other titles, this was the one that was most likely to change because of the stories involved the other ones and just the title reigns of those other title holders right now. And, of course, with Becky Lynch, you have the story coming into it of, like you said, her being the only one to not have won during that Four Horsewoman era of NXT. And she has arguably gone on to become the most successful of all the Four Horsewomen. Even if you just – so your title reigns, yeah, sure, Charlotte Flair. But if you look at – I don't know. Just off the top of my head, I want to say Becky Lynch probably had more days as title holder. And you look at when it comes to the business, I don't think Charlotte Flair has been on the cover of a WWE 2K game for one. So Becky Lynch coming back, I should say, to NXT as the most, not just the most successful four horsewoman, but really the most successful probably women's wrestler in WWE over the past 5 years, at least the past 5 years. And so in that regard, that's a feather in the cap for Tiffany Stratton that the person that did end her reign is not just a future Hall of Famer, regardless of how you look at it, but one of the best women of the era. And it was, you know, there was one little mishap in the early portion of the match, but aside from that, it was a miscommunication thing, wasn't anything. Aside from that, though, it was probably Tiffany Stratton's best match. Of course, not a surprise that it came against Becky Lynch. And when Becky Lynch dodged that PME and hit the manhandle slam, like, you knew it was going to be over then. It just was still a bit surreal to see the ref's hand count to three because,
yeah,
you know, the other ones have had the stories built up, sure, and this one wasn't so built up, but they have been building Strat. I guess sure, she's retained, but, you know, she's needed some underhanded tactics or something to happen most of her matches to retain. They haven't really built her up as the most dominant champion. But she has been retaining. And for this match to end cleanly with no shenanigans, I think, is a... I don't want to say it's a testament to anything. I just think because of the monumentality of Big Lynch being here and her winning the title, you had to have it go down clean. Otherwise, it kind of just, I guess, wasting. You would have wasted the title change here if you had done it any other way. So, you know, good match. Good job for Stratton. Now the question for me is, does Becky Lynch lose the title at No Mercy? I wrote in my report that they already have basically three feuds set up for her. You have Kiana James, you have Lyra Valkyria, and then you have a rematch with Stratton. And it's, I said, hey, you could just have a, might just have a fatal four-way between these four at No Mercy for the title. But I do think if Becky Lynch stays around longer than that, she should feud longer with Tiffany Stratton, because they have, I mean, Stratton can, is going to be a star, but The little things that separate the top stars of the business versus, you know, the stars are things like promo ability. And while Stratton can do some great promos, I feel like having her go in there with someone the caliber of Becky Lynch can only do wonders for kind of sharpening the edges and kind of like a sculptor going up to their project and just, you know, trimming off some of the edges to make it more refined. I think that would be the route I would want to go with Becky Lynch and Tiffany Stratton, because of those four women, or of the other three women I stated besides Lynch, Stratton inarguably has the most potential to be a megastar in the business. So I think I would tell them keep going with Lynch and Stratton and make sure that they avoid each other physically, but go at each other on the mic for a couple of weeks, even if No Mercy isn't the end of the Lynch title reign.
Bruce, I'll ask you for your opinion, okay? I think this is great. Like, Stratton, even though she lost here, she still wins. I mean, she's getting FaceTime, airtime, I guess is a better way to say it. FaceTime is what you do on your iPhone. She's getting airtime, and she's getting airtime with Becky Lynch, like you said. I mean, arguably the biggest, you know, female star. Maybe in the history of WWE, arguably, I don't know. I don't know how much merch she sold. I don't know exactly how you calibrate, how you calculate where she would be. But, arguably she might be, you know, like one of the top female star ever in WWE. And here she is, you know, going toe-to-toe, by she, I mean Tiffany Stratton, going toe-to-toe with Becky Lynch. I mean, it was a good back and forth, and especially towards the beginning of this match, there was a couple. I'm getting ahead of myself. Towards the beginning of this match, Stratton got quite a bit of offense, and even, you know, throughout the whole match as well. So I mean, she looked like she could hang with Becky. Becky was very giving here. Obviously, she won, so yeah, of course she could be giving. So it works. But it definitely made, you know, kind of elevated Tiffany Stratton, I think, even in that loss. And then now with Becky sticking around for a little while, Tiffany, she's going next week. She's going to be pissed. She's going to play up that like annoying. I'm going to call it Karen Barbie. The best way I can describe it for right off the top of my head. She's going to play that up. She's going to be obnoxious, and it's going to be fantastic. Becky's going to rub it in her face. Like you said, there's a couple other women that she could potentially get set up with here as well. You've got Lyra Valkyria, you've got Kiana James, and the Kiana James moment, when I said I was getting ahead of myself a minute ago, it was the Kiana James moment that I was about to talk about. That was the moment that I went, Becky's winning. And in my mind, that 70-30 split that I talked about last night with Wade went the other way, and it went 70% in Becky's favor, 30 in Tiffany's. And, I'm like, they wouldn't tease. I don't think they would tease that without paying it off somehow. And I just don't know. I just feel like that's it. She's winning. And then what really tipped me to maybe like 90%, 10% was the beginning of this match going into the first commercial break. It was all Tiffany. Like Tiffany she got all of the offense. And you know, all of a sudden you're starting to, you know, kind of build sympathy on Becky, which she, you know, clearly should have been as the face anyway, but it was kind of just the way that the match was laid out. It seemed to me like, okay, Stratton's getting a lot here and Tiffany, and Becky, not so much. Becky's a big, you know, main roster star. She can't necessarily be like looking kind of like a chump in a long match against, you know, somebody like, I mean, even though she's a champion, she's still champion of developmental. She can't be looking like a chump, you know, and she didn't. She was able to kind of get her stuff in and still make Tiffany Stratton look good. So overall, I'm really, really high on this angle. I have no idea how divisive it's going to be. We've got a couple emails come in. I haven't actually taken a look at, so we'll see if there's anything about them in there. And we also have somebody on the line. If you'd like to be part of our show, you can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com, or you can call us at 515-605-9345, and you can hit 1 on your keypad to raise a little hand next to your phone number, and it's like, hey, Nate, I want to be on the show. So 240 did that, and I'm going to click this little button right here, which is going to say unmuted in your head or speakers, wherever you're listening. I'm assuming you're wearing a headset, but you're probably not. I don't know. And let us know what you thought of the show.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I am wearing headphones, so I did get unmuted in my head. That's a strange thing to think about. This is Steve from Bowie, Maryland. How are you doing?
I'm sorry. I started laughing, and I missed your name. I'm sorry.
Steve from Bowie, Maryland.
Steve, good to talk to you, man.
All right. Just wanted to start off by piggybacking off the Becky Tiffany discussion. And I really, if you're gonna give Becky this completion victory where she's on the same level as the other horsewomen, I don't think you leave it on her for 18 days and then take it off. But I do agree with your point that somebody on that NXT women's roster is going to hit pay dirt with a whole lot of credibility points, if you want to call it that, in being the one who takes that title back off of Becky. And the three people who we saw tonight, I think Tiffany's the only one who is in a place to be rewarded with that sort of payoff, and it does need to be on a one-on-one match. I don't like this. I'm tired of multi-person matches.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hope it's a one-on-one match and it's not, a fatal four-way or anything like that. Because I agree with you. I know Bruce brought up the potential of, you know, they're dropping in at No Mercy and, you know, as kind of a possibility. But, you know, I'm sure he's on board with us too. That, like, and I don't want to speak for you. I don't know why I'm speaking for you. I've had a lot of coffee today.
I'd say this coffee earlier today from volunteering me to do something, Nate, but there you
hey,
know, whatever.
But you know what? It was to help Kelly out, man, and we love Kelly on this show. I've never made fun of Kelly, ever. Now I don't even know what I was talking about because I got called out there.
Tiffany holding on to the title after November.
Yeah. So, you know, I agree. I don't think this should be a short reign. I think this should be at least a couple, 3 months, you know, or so, forever, however long that the main roster can kind of like, I don't want to say, however long the main roster can kind of give up Becky Lynch. I mean, she can still show up on TV, you know, on Raw and SmackDown, you know, with the titles, but, you know, I'm sure she's going to want a night off here and there, you know? So it kind of is what it is, you know, with that. But I like it. I really do. And with Becky being one of the most popular, you know, wrestlers in the company, this is going to get people to watch NXT. You know, we talked about that quite a bit with Dominic. You know, a lot of people love to hate Dominic, so they see him with this title and they're like, wait, what's that title? North American title, NXT. All right, I've heard about NXT. Let's check it out. Maybe it's, you know, now with Becky, like, she shows up with this nice shiny white gold NXT title. Who knows? You know, people start tuning in. Ratings draw. When her husband was on the show, you know what? A couple months ago, you know, defending the world heavyweight title against Bron Breakker, it was like one of the most the highest rated shows of the year. The second highest rated show of the year. So I'm really curious to see it. Not that I'm really a ratings guy, but I'm kind of curious to see how wife compares against husband here, especially considering, you know, she won a title, didn't necessarily defend a title. It's pretty cool. It's a cool moment. Bruce, I've rambled quite a bit. I've talked for you. You know, speak for yourself here and I won't feel so bad.
So I did say that if they do extend her reign beyond No Mercy, that it should be with Tiffany Stratton. They can do those promo battles and work on Tiffany Stratton's promo abilities. Just to put that back out there. You know, right. I'm just bringing up the possibility that they do a title change at No Mercy, because we've seen them do make good title changes and quick switches before, just like this. And so I wouldn't put it past them. But, you know, if you look at the... I want to get my terminology correct here. The viewership numbers and then the overall rating, they've gone down since, you know, Ripley hasn't been a full presence when Dom is just there by himself. They've gone down since Seth wasn't there. Basically, without the established stars, both numbers have gone back down to what we would expect during the 2.0 era. A little better than that, but not necessarily... in a spot where you'd want to be this far out of it. So my feeling is that they'll keep it on Lynch beyond. Now, the thing I forgot to bring up with Becky Lynch is, are they going to do the same thing they have with Dominic Mysterio and pull double duty with her? And I think the answer there is that they have to do that, because while Dominic is popular, Becky Lynch is just on a separate level than Dominic Mysterio that. And you can't just take that off Raw for the benefit of NXT without facing some kind of repercussion on the other side of it. So she'll probably have to do Mondays and Tuesdays. I think Judgment Day is kind of doing triple duty almost now. So Dominic has a lot on his plate too. But for me, if she is doing those two, it's even more imperative that after No Mercy on Tuesdays, her time on NXT is spent in those promo battles with Tiffany Stratton, in backstage interviews, in vignettes, so that she can save her body for the big match to come, and that it would be eventually, I'm guessing, at the Survivor Series PLE for NXT, would be Stratton regaining the title or another high-stakes TV match. They might have the patience to extend it toward the Survivor Series PLE, but that is still 2 more months away, so... depending on how much longer they want this to keep going and how comfortable they are with the improvement they see in Stratton moving forward, especially in terms of the promo ability. And I think the title reign of Becky Lynch here can last from anywhere between No Mercy to the Survivor Series PLE.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a good, you know, good guess. You know, and the other thing that I don't know why we haven't thought about this until just now, or maybe we have and I'm just an idiot, but you know, the like this week Dominic was on TV, but it was a backstage segment. I think it was the same thing last week too. Those could have been pre-taped the last time he was down in Florida. You know, and he's not necessarily showing up in you know, in Florida every week. So, you know, maybe, you know, it's just like a once a month type of thing. He shows up, makes an appearance, and then he's got like, you know, a bunch of pre-tapes or something like that. Same, and, you know, same thing for Becky. So that's, she might have to do a little bit more double duty, at least at first, after, you know, like, you know, obviously next week and, you know, potentially even the week after, something like that. But then, you know, I'm sure she'll get a few weeks off with some pre-tapes and things like that. But yeah, let me, Steve, let me throw it back over to you for follow-up or something else.
Yeah, no, I was thinking that they were going to throw one more PLE out before the end of the year, because the closer we get to the end of the year, I think Becky's going to need to be freed up to finally start getting turned toward what everybody thinks is an inevitable match with Rhea Ripley at next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. A couple of other real quick questions here. First of all, when did Jersey become a country? Did you see that on the Nathan Fraser graphic? They showed him.
I think what they mean is that I think it's kind of like when they do like Finn Balor's from Bray County, Wicklow. I think it's kind of like that kind of thing where he's from Jersey, England.
Right, they still say he's from Ireland at the end of it all. Everybody else has
the
a
English
flag with a country.
Didn't you have the English
yeah,
flag?
Okay.
I'm doing the Wikipedia thing right now because geology. Wow, good God, Nate. Geography.
In general.
Yeah, just education in general. Edumacation. I hooked on phonics worked well for me. So it looks like it's an island between England and France, the self-governing dependency of the UK.
Okay. That makes it more of a country than I thought.
Yeah.
And cool. In the backstage segment with Roxanne Perez, we saw Lola Vice and Electra Lopez walk up to her. Did I hear correctly that Electra Lopez is going to be in the breakout tournament, and how does she qualify for it, if that's true?
I think
Lola's
Lola
in it.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe I got confused, but I thought I heard her say, I'm going to be in it and I'm going to win it and get my shot at Becky or whoever the champion is.
I thought it was Lola that said that too, but
Who knows?
But I don't know. I don't have it written down, but like in my head, it was like, I'm remembering Lola saying that. Maybe Electra did too.
I just remember Electra challenging Perez and then Vice saying that after she won at the breakout tournament,
yeah,
she's also going to go after Perez. So
that's what I was remembering too.
They leave language just ambiguous enough that they can go many different ways with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
Okay. That's what I haven't called in a while. Just wanted to check in with you guys. And I was surprised, that Becky won because I think it says that they see a lot of things in Tiffany, but she's not quite at the point yet where we can give her a clean win over the man.
No, exactly. Exactly. Sorry, go ahead.
And I will leave you on this one thought. Just every time I see Electra Lopez, the first thing that's going to come to my head is that match with B-Fab. Have a good night.
Oh, man. You had to leave us on that note. No, that's okay. That's fine.
Sorry.
You can do that. Steve, anytime, man, call in. And good to hear from you. All right. So let's move on here. Oh, now I'm thinking about B-Fab and anyway, I'm going to move on. Brad, save me. How are we doing tonight, Brad?
Hey guys, Bruce, it's good to have you back. And Nate, thanks for taking my call. Steve was good just listening to him. You know, I spoke to you last night on the Raw post game and,
yes,
I'm shocked that they let Becky win. I really am. I thought there was no way this match was ending any other way than some sort of double disqualification or Tiffany, brass knuckle cheating her to win or something like that. I know that's not really Tiffany's MO. She really hasn't done the dirty stuff. She's done the bitchy stuff. She hasn't done the dirty stuff, really. A little bit with the purse, maybe. Maybe I'm forgetting. But regardless, I'm kind of surprised. I thought this was going to lead to a match at No Mercy, like a rematch of some sort, you know. I'm just shocked. I mean, I kind of in a certain way, like, don't like every main roster person just coming and winning every title. I think it takes away from NXT a little bit, and I guess that's what they're trying to do. You know, I think they're trying to bring more eyes to it, but I just want your guys' thoughts on it. Like, I really was truly shocked that Tiffany's lost the championship tonight.
So, you know, yeah, you know, we were talking about this last night on the post show, like, you know, and like I said, you know, a little earlier tonight as well, like I was kind of giving it, you know, 70% Tiffany Stratton, 30% Becky, and for kind of a lot of the reasons that you did outline. And even though at the moment, like as a fan, I'm kind of excited to see Becky win, you know, cause like I say, it's the one that she hasn't won. And it's just kind of a cool moment to see, you know, one of the more popular stars kind of come down to our neck of the woods. You know, those are some of the more kind of like some of the bigger questions that we need to ask, you know, or that I, you know, I was even asking, I was kind of asking myself a little bit before we were going on here. Like, so now, you know, two of our championships are now held by main roster stars, which, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, NXT is supposed to be developmental. So in a way, it does give the developmental talent kind of like almost like a boss to fight, you know, like a main roster type boss to fight. And it probably kind of like Tiffany Stratton will give them a little bit of like TV time on Raw and SmackDown, or at least, you know, a couple mentions on Raw and SmackDown, which is still, you know, like worth its weight in gold for these guys, I'm sure. Guys and girls, I throw that out there. But you know, on the flip side, it's supposed to be a separate brand. We have a brand split for a reason. There are free agents, and two of them are on this show, Von Wagner, although he'll never be the same again and never wrestle again, according to Baron Corbin, but we'll get there later. Von Wagner and Mustafa Ali are technically free agents, and that's why they're able to be on NXT. Technically, they could show up on, you know, Raw or SmackDown, wherever they want. So, you know, there's that. I still don't quite know how that they wound up with free agency, but whatever. So it kind of, like, in a way does, I guess it really depends on what they want to do with NXT and what their goal is, because with NXT 2.0 and then kind of the rebirth of NXT Black and Gold, you know, the last, I don't know what, 8, 9, 10 months, however long it's been, it's kind of been that developmental building talent and getting people over. And now they start, you know, I mean, and they've been doing this for a little while too. You know, they started mixing like AJ in and Dolph Ziggler in, and maybe they saw that, you know, that was working and kind of popping a rating, or maybe it was beneficial even to the talents to just have the main roster stars there to kind of learn from and kind of get that kind of just that little extra perspective than they would just from, you know, their normal coaches and people that are at the PC. Just kind of spitballing. But yeah, like if that's the direction they want to go and they want to go with, you know, developmental, like they have been, it feels weird having the main roster come down here and kind of mingling and interfering as much as they have been, you know, winning titles. If their idea is a developmental show that is still you know, not that a developmental show isn't entertainment, but a developmental show that's, you know, an entertainment show that has a little bit less focus on developmental, but you still want some main roster stars on there to get some eyeballs on it, to pop a rating and you know, make USA Network and NBC a little bit happier. Okay, fine. Then I think that's, you know, whatever. You know, that they're achieving their goal. So, yeah, I guess it really, like I said, it kind of depends on the perspective of, you know, what they want to, what they're looking to do. Bruce, I'll let you weigh in.
Yeah, sorry, I lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about again?
We, you know, kind of like, wow.
What were we talking about? Stratton and Lynch thing again?
Wow. I just threw to you, and I started reading an email, and I'm like, I literally do not remember what I said 3 seconds ago.
That's happened to me. I started reading something right before you threw it to me. That's what threw me off. Sorry, Brad, what were you talking about again?
Well, I was talking about, you know, I'm shocked that Becky won this match, and I did not think it was going to happen. I just didn't think it was the right, you know, I just thought it was going to be no contest or, you know, some weird ending that led to a no mercy match.
Okay, I remember what I was thinking now. So, to be fair, not every person who's come down from Raw SmackDown has won a title. Natalya, Baron Corbin being the big ones who haven't won a title when they came back down to NXT. But I do understand your point, because the last few that have come down, in Dominic and now Becky Lynch, have won it. But how do I put this? I think especially with Dominic Mysterio, they laid the groundwork for that title switch to happen, and they also had it happen how you would expect it to happen for someone like Dominic Mysterio. And here with Becky Lynch, you also had it go down how you expect it, you know, clean victory, finisher, just like that. I don't think they did enough of the build-up as they do with Dominic Mysterio. They had weeks with that, and of course here they did not have weeks, but as many weeks, I should say. There's a little bit of less there, but I think the overarching knowledge that this is Becky Lynch's only kind of main title, she hasn't won yet, and you know, having it brought up by Tiffany Stratton before, I think it does, how do I put this? I think to a certain extent, they made up for the lack of at least the time for the build and reiterating how much it would mean to Becky Lynch winning this title, because she hasn't won it before in the few weeks that they had, including tonight with the match and the eventual victory. I do think that the ending felt a bit, it kind of felt a bit abrupt to me. It just felt like Stratton was supposed to kick. I thought she was going to kick out there, and there's going to be a little more. Maybe she's going to tap out or something, but maybe they don't want to have her tap out yet in that fashion. So in this case, like I said, I think with all the recent non-title changes, this is probably the one that had the best chance of being a title change, and actually the one that makes a whole lot of sense when you look at it in the macro sense, especially if she holds on to it beyond No Mercy. At least that's what I think.
Brad, throw back to you.
Yeah, I understand that they I think they're just trying to turn this into a quasi, you know, a real third brand, not even a quasi third brand. Like, I think they're trying to make this like something that you as a WWE fan need to watch. And I just, again, I was just surprised they didn't do this at the pay-per-view, because now what? Who are the women that Becky's really going to challenge here? I mean, Roxanne's a babyface. I mean, you could say a Cora Jade coming back, maybe. I don't know, but I don't know how long Becky's going to have this or how she's going to lose it, being the best and being what she is. But regardless, I am surprised with, I know they got a big rating tonight. I'm sure that they did. I'm surprised they didn't allow Tiffany to land her moonsault. Really, because it's more than just a finisher move. Like, it really defines her athleticism. It's just a perfect finisher for her, and it's something that is special to see. And, you know, we've had people kick out of the Tombstone Piledriver. We've had people kick out of the F5, obviously, a million times. We've had people kick out of the End of Days. We've had people kick out of Drew McIntyre's Claymore, Roman Reigns' Spear. I mean, you mean to tell me we couldn't have had that move on display and Becky kick out of it? If anyone's going to kick out of it, it could have been Becky or Charlotte or something. You know, I'm surprised. Are you guys surprised they didn't display that move tonight with all these people watching?
No.
Yeah, I'm not, because if they did, then Becky would have had to kick out. And it just kind of, I think it would define the move down a little bit. I know we've seen other finishing moves get, kicked out of. And actually, has the End of Days ever been kicked out of? Because it hadn't been for a long time. I don't know if
I'm pretty sure it happened.
Did that streak get broken? Okay.
Was it Gable? I'm not sure if it was Gable Stevens.
Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, I believe.
Okay. That's right.
Too, but yeah, it might have been. Who was
that's
it?
Right.
It might have been Braun Breaker too at one point, or Von Wagner, whoever the hell it was. But
right.
my thing is, the moves you brought up had been established for a bit as moves, and so when it didn't happen, it was extremely surprising and added more to the match and to the overall the story that was involved. But with Tiffany Stratton, it's only been her finisher for a few months at best, and she hasn't really used it on and landed on because NXT developmental, right? And she's been winning everything. The people she's landed on hasn't been at the highest caliber, especially the caliber of Becky Lynch. And so I think at this point you still want to protect that finisher. And when you do have someone kick out of it, it's probably the person that's going to take the title from her when she does regain it and goes up to Raw or SmackDown. And so, you know, Blair Davenport stands out as the person I think that could be that. But for now, you want to keep that gambit kind of tucked away until you absolutely necessarily need it. You don't need it in a Becky Lynch match. So with Becky Lynch, you just need her to be Becky Lynch and go from there.
Brad, anything else? Any follow-up?
Just my last thing on
sure.
Wesley. You know, it was very reminiscent, and I don't know if you guys, you know, I know, Bruce, you don't watch a ton of the main roster, but when Jey Uso left SmackDown, and he's like, I'm out. You know, I'm out of WWE. And then a few weeks later, obviously, he was back. But Wesley leaving, I mean, I just felt like he, I don't know. What do you guys think comes of that? And is he going to the main roster? I mean, we saw him, you know, kissing his wife and goodbye, and I cleaned out my locker. Like, what comes of this? And where does this go? Because I don't know if you could just bring him up to the main roster with this type of leaving. Like, it was very, you know, kind of like, oh, he's leaving? Okay. I mean, what do you guys think comes of that?
He's going to Choco Pro.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that. I'm kind of wondering that myself, like where they're going with this. I'm assuming it's going to lead to some sort of a, you know, another redemption type story where, you know, he realizes he can't, you know, be feeling sorry for himself, and he's got to pick himself up and get back on the horse and, you know, maybe challenge again for the title or something. I don't know, because him challenging for the title again would be the third time. It just kind of been there, done that. So I don't know exactly what that story is going to be, but I have a feeling it's going to be some sort of a redemption story like that.
Because we brought up kind of the ratings and everything too. Joel Pearl messaged me and saying that NXT's up against the VMAs tonight, so that number is probably going to be kind of low.
Oh, well, okay. I don't really pay attention to a lot of that stuff, so I didn't even realize what was going on tonight.
Yeah,
all right.
I even saw tweets about it, but it didn't cross my mind that people still watch this stuff. So hat tip to Joel.
Yeah, all right. Cool. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, yeah, that could be something. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But
Or maybe the VMA's number is going to be low because of NXT.
Yeah, there we go.
That much of a draw.
That's right. Yeah, no, Brad, anything else?
No, I think that's it. And thanks, guys, for the time. And it was
a very good show
tonight. I just, again, I was not expecting this. I really wasn't. I just did not think. You know why also, and I'll let you guys go, but there wasn't a lot of build. Like, it wasn't like Becky showed up. She was on the video board after Tiffany beat Kiana James. It wasn't like there was no build for it. Kind of with Tiffany in the crowd at the last pay-per-view, whatever it was. No, it was on Raw against Zoe Stark.
Raw.
I was surprised. Yeah, I still am, like, surprised that, like, you know, you would think this would be something where Becky comes down, they cut an in-ring promo, then the next week something else happens, then the third week she wins it. I don't know, it just felt like, oh, I'm on the board, yeah, I'm going to come, I'm going to take your title, and then it just happened, and that was it. And you know, Tiffany is definitely a WrestleMania top-tier main eventer, in my opinion, one day. So I'm looking forward to that stuff. But I don't know, guys. I don't know where it goes. And congratulations, I guess, to Becky. And we will talk soon. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Brad. So let's take a look here. What else happened? So we've covered quite a bit. Well, we were just talking about Wesley. So let's talk about Wesley. So earlier tonight he had a match to. It was actually the opener tonight. So it was very earlier in the night. Wesley versus Ilya Dragunov for the rights to face Carmelo Hayes at No Mercy. This was obviously as we were just discussing. Ilya Dragunov went over Wesley later in the night. Met his wife backstage, kissed her, said, "Hey, I looked directly into the cameras, like I cleaned out my locker, I'm done," you know, and he just kind of walked out and put his stuff in the car. And then Gigi Dolin attacked Blair Davenport, but we'll talk about that later. But it, like, literally, like, no sooner did he walk away, just giant crash, and Wesley didn't turn around to, like, see if anybody was okay, so, like, you know, there's no way he didn't hear that. So he's kind of a dick, even if he was sad. But that's another story for another day. But no, the match itself here was, I thought it was fantastic. As you would expect out of Dragon Lee, Wesley and Ilya Dragunov. Okay, that makes sense why I did that. Dragunov, Lee, whatever. Ilya Dragunov, Wesley. That German suplex from Ilya Dragunov onto the table, I thought was awesome. The table didn't break. I don't know if that was by design, if the table was supposed to break. But like Wesley kind of just crumpled up and like fell on the floor. It was great. The only thing that, like, and it's my one nitpick really about the entire match is I just wish they would have let those big spots, they would have sold those big spots and kind of let them mean a little bit more. For example, and you may have missed this because I know you don't get the picture-in-picture breaks in your US
screen.
The split screen, yeah. But no sooner did, you know, they do that spot, that German suplex spot onto the table, it was like 45 seconds later, they're both back up in the ring, you know, slugging at one another. And it's like, That was an awesome spot. The crowd was, you know, and all, you know, and you're not selling it, and you're just right back in the ring, like, slugging at one another. I mean, it's a complaint, I guess, you know, I could make about a variety of matches in WWE, modern wrestling as a whole, I guess. But that was just, like, really blatant to me, like, you really just got hurt there, and then here you are. But whatever. Other than that, nitpick aside, I thought it was a great match. And it, you know, kind of does suck for Wesley. You know, after the match, I was really wondering, like, I was trying to think, you know, what am I going to talk about on the show? Where's Wesley going to go from here? And then I'm like, well, he's going out the back door. So, you know, like we were saying with Brad, I think it's going to be some sort of redemption story for him from here. But I don't quite know how they're going to tell it. I don't think he's going to the main roster. He might be written off TV for a little while. Maybe he's got some nagging injuries, you know, small little things. He's got to just heal and rest up or something. Total speculation. But you know, maybe he'll get some kind of well-deserved time off here and then come back and do something cool. Bruce, talk about what cool things he could do.
Yeah, so, you know, the match, again, what you'd expect with these two, just really good, hard-hitting. One little miscommunication spot early on, but that was quickly wiped away. Same thing happened in Tyler Bate match earlier, too, as well. But I do appreciate that it took Dragunov just a little bit extra to take Lee down. And in my report, I wrote that character-wise, Lee is a lot like the old Brian Dano character in that, Dan O'Brien character, in that just because he's just full of heart and grit and determination, and it takes so much to put him down that even when he loses, the crowd is just, you know, they tend to cheer for him more than they cheer for the victor in that regard. And so Wesley really, and to think about the fact that he was a tag team wrestler that a certain segment of the crowd did not take to, all of a sudden, career tag team wrestler, has become one of the best singles wrestlers in all of NXT, is a testament to what he's been able to do. But here, you know, we've seen both of them, Hayes and Dragunov and Hayes and Lee, but I think they established, even though Hayes lost the North American Championship to Lee back in the day, I think they established that level-wise, because there's a lot of talk about levels in NXT, that level-wise, Hayes is above Lee, and that Dragunov is a slight level above Lee in terms of how they book. So this matchup makes the most sense. Yes, we've seen it before, but we have a different sort of Carmelo Hayes character to see how he portrays that in the match. This character has a little more edge, a little more paranoia to him than we've ever seen with his character. And we even saw a little bit of that in his backstage interaction with, or locker room interaction with Trick Williams in the night too. So with Wesley, again, because this also ties into that segment with Hayes and Williams, is he's just dragging that trash can along as they're talking, and Trick looks back at him, Mello looks back at him, and then, you know, there's a little bit of tension between Hayes and Williams still because of how Hayes kind of has been talking to Williams about things. They kind of brushed over that. Williams, once again, talked about having him being in the corner for Hayes when he faces Mysterio. This was even before Mysterio, the match with Mysterio was made official. And Hayes basically said they're going to have the Trick Mello gang again. And then before Williams went off, he looked back to look at Lee. And then Lee took off his nameplate from the locker. And as he said, he left with his wife. So what they could do here is, yeah, maybe he's written off TV for a while, and they do some vignettes for him to debut on Raw or SmackDown. Or what I think is more likely is he's written off TV for a bit, and then he makes a big impact by attacking somebody, and we get a heel turn from Wesley because nothing's been working for him. And whether that's Carmelo Hayes as the men's NXT champion, whether that's Dominic or Mustafa Ali or Dragon Lee or whoever is the North American champion, whether it's Trick Williams because of their history or Ilya Dragunov, I think he comes back with a different sort of attitude and character because he's been kind of trending toward a more aggressive, a more dark character the past few weeks, past few months, but they haven't really fully gone that route yet. And he's basically just been a hard-working babyface the entire time, so I think it's a good chance to redefine who his character is and bring him back with an impact in 8 to 12 weeks.
No, they're not going to bring him to Impact. That's another company. I had to make the joke. I had to make it. It was there, if I didn't, I would have been disappointed in myself.
My Chuckle Crow joke was much better.
Actually, it was. It was. He tweeted it last night. Okay, so let's go on here and talk a little bit about we'll talk about that later. I want to talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Let's talk about Nathan Frazer versus Akira Tozawa, and then we'll talk about Tyler Bate versus Axiom, kind of lumped the two invitational matches together here. So I'm really digging these matches. I wish they would kind of explain the logic behind how they match these, like match everybody up a little bit more. I found myself having some questions as to why, like, Tyler Bate, this was his first match, but this was Axiom's second match. Why isn't Tyler Bate going up against somebody else that hasn't had a match yet?
Bate was the only one in that group that hadn't had a match yet since the round robin tournament. So he would have been facing anyone who did already face, because Coffey, Tozawa, and Frazer all had matches in their group already. I think Bate hadn't had one yet because he was off, and then he had a little
one-off feud with somebody. I can't remember who it was, either a week or two ago. So that's why his was a bit more, it seemed a bit odd in that sense, I guess.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, but I mean, other than a couple things like that, that kind of just, you know, I wish they just did a little bit of a better job explaining that. Like, they probably have explained it, but I feel like, you know, with something like that, with it kind of being a little complicated, especially with now you got all the different points in there, and, you know, at least I understand the points, but yeah, I kind of wish they just spent a little bit more time on that during these matches, kind of explaining what it is. Like, you know, right before they have a Heritage Cup match, they go over the rules and everything. So it'd be kind of nice if they just kind of like recap that maybe each time. But that's really my biggest gripe about that. Other than that, the matches were fine. Nathan Frazier versus Kira Tozawa. I mean, I was shocked because Akira Tozawa lost. Not really, which, yeah, kind of a shame. I like the guy. I like what he does. He's a fun performer, but a lot of charisma. But never quite broke through the ceiling there. Nathan Frazier picking up the win pretty quickly here. Bringing him, I believe it was now to 4 points, if I'm not mistaken, without looking it up. Being kind of, I think he was tied with Joe Coffey, if I'm not mistaken, for that block.
After the victory, he's now tied with Joe Coffey. So they said next week is a winner take all for Joe Coffey. But then if Duke Hudson wins, it's a 3-way tie for the lead in Group B.
Yep. So we had that. Like I said, it was a good match. Just short, very short. Kind of, I don't know if there's really a whole lot to talk about there. And then Tyler Bate versus Axiom's a little bit of a, it was a longer match. I'll let you get the time because I don't have your report up at the moment.
Yeah. So the Axiom versus is Nathan Frazier, or not Nathan, but Tyler Bate match was 10:07.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's, I kind of figured it was about like 10 minutes or so. Again, as you would expect out of these two, I thought this was a great match. Tyler Bates' night here again. And I forget exactly what the points were again there too, but is what it is.
Coffey and Frazier have 4.
And what
after
about
that back?
And then what about Bate and Axiom?
Oh, and this one, Bate has 2 now after the victory, and Axiom I don't think has a victory yet, so he has 0.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Axiom was 1 draw, 1 loss. That's right. Cool. So, yeah. So we'll kind of see where that goes. It's a fun, like, kind of thread throughout the course of NXT. We have a couple of those each week, kind of leading up to No Mercy and see who faces Noam Dar. I'm thinking it's either going to be Bate or Frazier. I think it makes the most sense, but I don't know. Maybe Duke Hudson's like, no, I got to do this for Chase U or something, since they just lost Thea Hale, or about to lose Thea Hale. So
I think having them have a 3-way tie is too enticing for them not to pull that trigger, or for them not to have that situation occur. So I think that's what they're going to do, and they'll probably get a triple threat match between them to figure out who ends up being the victor. And then I do think that you'll have Bate and Frazier in the final, but I think Bate comes out the victor, and we have Nathan Frazier make that, you know, that Cinderella run, and then end up with so close to victory, but he still loses kind of thing. And then you have Bate take on Noam Dar come No Mercy. So, yeah.
Sounds good to me. All right, let's go over to our mailbag here, and we'll go to an email from Kevin Catani. Kevin says, "Salutations, gents. Hope this email finds you well. The first vestiges of fall are coming to the Midwest, and I'm not mad at it." I'm kind of a little mad at it. I didn't get a super, like, awesome summer here in New England. Like, we had a lot of 60-degree days and stuff, and it's kind of dumb.
Whatever. I so much just went in the 80s.
I don't want to hear it, man. I don't want to hear it. I mean, I guess I do. I'll live vicariously through you. I'll be in Florida in a week and a half going to Disney. So I'm hoping to have some good weather there. But anyway, we're not talking about my vacation. We're talking about the vestiges fall in the Midwest, and Kevin's not mad about it. He says, with the triumphant return of Nia Jax to the main roster, how long will it be until we see her causing trouble in NXT? He puts triumphant in quotes, by the way. I do want to point that out. Also, what's happened to Odyssey Jones? I like him, and I feel like he was just heating up before he disappeared. Thanks, as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Office hours are now over. Kevin Catani, PhD. Nia Jax came back on Raw last night. They got to talk about that with Wade right off the bat to open the post show. Wade's a lot higher on Nia Jax than I think a lot of people are, and he admitted that last night on the show. And I think he does make some valid points. Like, there is some value there in bringing her back. She does have some name value and recognition and things like that. Excuse me. So, I mean, I think there's definitely value there. I worry a little bit about ring rust. I don't know how much she's been working on this, comeback or whatever. I know her Royal Rumble return was, I think she said it was 6 weeks or maybe even less before the Rumble. They're like, oh, yeah. I think they called her and basically told her she was going to be in the Rumble. And she's like, all right, yeah, that's fine. I don't know. I worry about ring rust and kind of like her history hurting and injuring people, especially Becky Lynch in the face. I don't really want to see her causing trouble in NXT. I think with her coming back to the main roster right now, she's there to be a foil for Rhea Ripley, potentially Raquel Gonzalez, kind of one of the two or maybe both of them. Because, who else on the main roster, what other woman on the main roster right now is going to could compete against either one of the two of them, Raquel or Rhea? That's Nia Jax. So there you go. I think that makes sense. I think she's got a lot of things to do, kind of a lot to do up on the main roster. And then there's a lot of fresh matchups for her on the main roster too. So I don't see her coming down to NXT anytime soon. They could certainly do it. She's got the history with NXT and, maybe she comes down and challenges Becky since she punched Becky in the face or something. And they kind of rekindle that, but I'm like, I don't want to see two main roster stars fight with the NXT title. So I don't even want to see that. So that's kind of what I feel about that. Odyssey Jones, he got drafted. He's on Raw. Because I was looking at the Raw roster last night, but is he injured again? Like, we haven't seen him in a while.
That's my guess, is that he may have re-aggravated his knee injury that kept him out for so long. But I haven't looked it up. I haven't really been checking out anything, so I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at a list real quick, and he's not on it. I don't know. Roman Reigns is, though, with an unknown injury, but that's weird. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where Odyssey Jones has been. Maybe because he was off TV for so long, and on that injured list, maybe like he gets to the main roster, not quite where they wanted him to be. So like, they're working on him, refining his character a bit, keeping him off TV and like re-debut him, something like that. But yeah, it's a good question. I like Odyssey Jones, a lot of charisma there. It certainly had some more work to do in the ring, but that was what developmental was for. So I don't know. They probably shouldn't have called him up. Bruce, over to you.
Yeah. So that's the Odyssey Jones stuff. With Nia Jax, I guess I'll just say what I said yesterday, and that was, has she been vaccinated against hurting people yet? And that's a multi-layer joke for those of you out there. So, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Nia Jax. I do understand Wade's points about the value she can bring. She is a woman with a different frame than a lot of other women in the business with a different look. She has name
value.
She's
not like most girls.
Not like most girls. That is very, very true. But there's just a lot of things that come with having Nia Jax on your roster. And a lot of that, or not a lot of that, but most of that to fans is the fact that she's hurt people many times. I mean, you might see Asuka put up stuff about, you know, Kairi being hurt, but then not trying to blame anybody. There's the issues you brought up with Becky Lynch. We know she had issues, I think, with Charlotte Flair as well. So I think there's, like, maybe if you bring her back in the tag team more like when she was with Baszler, you can, that's a bit better. But I still I'm still not the biggest fan of this because I just, look, maybe that year and a half or so she's been off, the whole time she was just training. I'm not sure if that's the case. Didn't hear any stories, but she kept to herself, which is her right. If she comes back and we see that she's better and she's improved and those critiques about her safety in the ring have been addressed, then more power to her. The slap she did to Rhea Ripley while she was sitting on top of her last night don't incline me to believe that there's been much in that way. But, you know, let's see where it goes. I'm just not holding out hope that there's much more beyond what we can.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm keeping my fingers crossed she stays to the main roster and out of my NXT. I don't really want that. Let's go to another email here from JB. JB says, "Hi team, it's JB from Detroit." Now JB, actually hold on real quick before I read JB's email. JB has, he's got 7 points in his email here, which is great. And we love the we love that the enthusiasm and stuff here. But so before I do that and read that, let me actually open this other email here. Okay, I'm going to read this one first. It's a little bit shorter, and then we can spend some time on JB's email here. So this one is from Brian Alston, our longtime VIP Torch subscriber, our senior VIP Torch subscriber. I believe I got that correct that time. He corrected me last time, so I want to make sure I got it right this time. He says, "Hey, Doc, Bruce, and Nate, unfortunately, I'm on the West Coast feed, so I didn't see this week's episode yet, but reading Doc Bruce's report on the Torch website tonight. Congrats to Becky Lynch. Now all the four horsemen have held the NXT championship. Sending kudos to the bookers and writers. Most of us thought when a couple weeks ago Tiffany Stratton referred to Becky as a former NXT champion, Tiffany made a mistake. Actually, it was long-term booking. I was actually really shocked with that. I mentioned that last night too on the post show with Wade. I really gave them credit because I just thought Tiffany screwed up, and the rest of the internet did too. The rest of the internet went on Twitter and like blasted her like right away, and then they bring it up later in the night on the same show, maybe like an hour later, and Tiffany's like, "I'm sorry, I accidentally said something like that in the ring while I was excited, blah blah blah." And but it was long-term booking, or maybe it wasn't, and then they just turned it into a story. I don't know, but let's pretend they did a good job with some long-term booking there. I guess just a few weeks long booking, but still, that's something good for WWE. All right, he says, question: how is it? Or he asks, how different is Becky Lynch coming down to Raw to win a championship different from Dolph Ziggler? Several fans and wrestling commentators didn't like Ziggler beating the NXT champ Ron Breakker. Did the program with Dolph help Breakker? Debatable. Becky's a lot more popular than Dolph is disliked. He says, don't forget to listen to the Torch VIP podcast NXT 8 years back on Saturday. Tom Stope and Kelly Wells will discuss the September 16th, 25th, 2015, wow, I can talk, 2015 edition of NXT. We're in the middle of the inaugural Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, and the William Regal, the general manager William Regal, announces the main event for TakeOver Respect on October 7th. And there's a movie question. The devil made me do it. Thanks, friends. Brian Alston. God, man, that original Dusty Classic, it was a classic. We've been, you know, It was funny. I was actually thinking yesterday about the Mae Young Classic, and then today they announced the breakout tournament, which is weird. But it's been a while since we've had like the Dusty Classic, and you know, or like you know, I was gonna say since we've had a tournament in general, now we get the breakout tournament. But I want a good Dusty Classic again. It's been a while, or something like another Mae Young Classic where they bring in some rookies and or something like that. The Mae Young Classic was fun, and it's also brought me to the Torch. I started covering that, and then I started covering this, and then started podcasts, and here I am. So Becky Lynch coming down, how is it different from Dolph Ziggler? So I think it's, and I think you kind of answer your own question here, Brian. Like, I think it's very different because Dolph Ziggler is Dolph Ziggler, but Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch. Dolph Ziggler, you know, yeah, it was cool to see him come down to NXT. And I remember even at the time, you know, we were talking about how he felt like a bigger deal in NXT because he's a big fish in a small pond. But Becky Lynch coming to NXT, she's a big fish. Like, she's still like, she's the biggest fish in that small pond.
In the biggest pond.
Yeah, in the biggest pond and coming to the small pond to come hang out. So it's definitely a little, it's definitely different. And I think there's certainly going to be people out there that don't like Becky coming. You know, Brad, you know, earlier tonight was talking about how, you know, he wanted to see Tiffany win and you know, thought, you know, it wasn't the right direction for NXT and the right direction, the right thought, the right move for him, you know, what he wanted to see. So you know, certainly going to be people out there. It's a little bit divisive and I'm kind of there. I'm like on one hand, like I said earlier, I'm excited as a fan. I'm excited to see Becky Lynch win, but then I start thinking more long-term about NXT and I'm like, you know, as kind of, you know, doing this as a PW Torch guy, I start thinking a little more long-term and I'm like, all right, what does this actually mean for NXT? And, you know, with you know, as we talked about a bit earlier tonight, like with everybody from the main roster coming down, winning titles and, you know, things like that. So I think it kind of all depends on, you know, like I said earlier, it depends on what their direction for NXT is now. If that's changed, which it seems like it kind of has, and I think it kind of has since the reversion to black and gold and kind of away from NXT 2.0 branding. I think that direction has changed a bit to be a little bit more of a show that's, I don't want to say weaved into the main roster a bit more, but kind of, you know, like one of the things like Brad was talking about a little bit ago, was how, you know, NXT has kind of become a show that is kind of weaving, you know, it's kind of becoming like a can't miss type show, or maybe that's kind of what they're trying to turn it into, become like a can't miss type show, to tie, you know, some things between Raw and SmackDown together. And I, in a way, like I can't blame them for doing that. Why not? And I've always wondered why they kept NXT so separate. There were times where they would not even bring NXT up at all. You know, somebody would debut on the main roster. They would barely even mention the fact that they've been in the company, you know, let alone in NXT or anything like that. So yeah, I think it's a good idea. Like, you know, kind of show a couple people on NXT or show a couple people from NXT on the main roster, like Tiffany Stratton and stuff, and, you know, bring people back and forth and kind of intermingle a little bit, not too much. I think they're starting to do it a little too much, but you intermingle a little bit and you kind of get some more eyeballs on NXT and you boost your ratings. You're going to make more money. But, you know, but you also don't want to defeat the whole purpose of having a developmental show and it then becoming a third brand like NXT Black and Gold did, which then they deemed a failure and it didn't work. So they turned it back to a developmental show. And now, you know, I guess the wrestling business is cyclical. That's what they say. Bruce, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference is that, I mean, Dolph has the title reigns and whatnot, but again, as on a level, it's a level comparison. Becky Lynch is at the tier that some of the greats have been at, while Dolph Ziggler is a tier or two below that. So I think that would be the difference here. And then when we're looking at, sort of the future or how they're using these talents, right? the people that tend to be outside of Ziggler, and as Brian stated in his email, did that help Breaker? He says it's arguable, although I know that the three of us were, and Tom too, were just vehemently against the that having any benefit for Breaker at all. So for me, they've done a better job in look at Dana Brooke, right? She's mired in sort of a lower card feud. She's on TV every week, yeah, but she's nowhere near the title picture. So I think they've done a better job in sort of choosing who and when from Raw or SmackDown to put over in certain ways on the show after learning from, I guess, the Ziggler. I mean, Ziggler and Breaker, the debacle was the biggest one to me. So, I think that got Breaker's second title run, which is almost a year-long option, just a poor taste in my mouth. So, and to a lot of people, and I think that's what made his title run just so, it really contributed to the title run being so forgettable to us, for us at least. So I think they're doing a much better job now. And there's a siren coming by. Let me mute real quick. Oh, it went down the other street. Never mind. So for me, it's just that there's a better usage now of those talents that they have utilized from Raw and SmackDown, or whoever they bring down from those two shows.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. As always, sir, glad to virtually interact with you here tonight. All right, let's go back to JB's email here, and we can spend a little bit of time here. And I think this is actually going to touch on quite a few of the things we haven't actually talked about yet. So, beautiful. Hi, team. It's JB from Detroit. I'm just going to go through these one by one. We can kind of address them real quick because they're kind of different topics or whatever. But so the first one. Ron has a shirt about his spear, and Wagner has a shirt about putting people through tables. Next, I think every NXT wrestler should have a shirt that specifically highlights what their finisher is. Okay, that's more of a comment. Two, if Braun is trying to be a heel, why are they framing him as the cool, edgy heel against the hated Baron Corbin? That's a good question. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Baron Corbin's promo tonight, because God dang it, did he do a great job, I think. When he came out tonight and started talking about the incident last week with Von Wagner and Braun Breaker, where Braun essentially pancaked the dude's head between steel steps, he came out and really sold that promo with conviction. Like, I know it's a work, and there was a point in time where I was doubting it, for a day. I wasn't quite sure. I thought maybe it actually legit happened. They seem to have gone through some, still even tonight, they're going through some great lengths to make this look like it's a it legitimately happened. Like Braun Breaker actually tried to break the dude's skull again. So I like it. I like what they're doing here, and I like Baron Corbin's delivery of that promo. Like, it was, even though I know it's work, I believed that he was coming out and being like, no, I'm going to avenge Braun Breaker, or Von Wagner rather. And then all of a sudden he turns and he's like, man, Braun, that was awesome. And I was like, all right, I didn't quite see that coming. I thought maybe we were going to get a little bit of a heel turn for here, but I'm disappointed at myself. I got tricked.
I'm disappointed in you too.
Honest to God, I thought because of the way he was delivering the promo, I was kind of like, because both of them, both Braun and Baron are heels. So my logic is here, maybe he's human after all. That was actually what I wrote in my notes. And then he's like, nope. And I'm like, all right, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah, so, in my report, I was literally writing, where is it? I said, and then called out Breaker in parentheses. He's going to congratulate him and laugh about Wagner, huh? That's exactly what happened. So I was not surprised at all, because that's just that's Baron Corbin's character pretty much since the very beginning of his WWE career.
Yeah, and that's why I was kind of like, I don't know. That's kind of why I thought maybe that's where we were at. I don't know. I thought maybe we were at a turning point for Baron Corbin here, but no, not at all. I guess Corbin basically confirmed on air that Gable Stevenson's career in NXT is over. I can't say that I'm all surprised. I do find it weird because he also recently dropped out of the 2023 World Wrestling Championship, which would make it hard for him to qualify for the 2024 Summer Olympics.
I swear I saw something on Twitter the other day that he was in a live – he was at a house show match, so an NXT house show match. So I don't – I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
just a talking point, a promo point.
Well, you know, it's weird because they took him off of the WWE.com
roster page,
yeah. Totally off topic, but everybody, open up your browser on your computer and go to WWE.com and click on Superstars at the top and start scrolling down, and all of a sudden you are greeted with the most giant picture of Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, and I don't know why, but it's weird. And I keep going to the roster page to, like, check things. I do that throughout the course of the show, and I start scrolling down, and it's just, like, it's trolling me, this gigantic picture of Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Anyway, that's totally besides the point here. But, yeah, Gable Stevenson, like, he did not have a great debut in NXT. I feel a little bit bad. Like, I gave him – I wasn't really nice about his – you know, his match in my hits and misses column, and it got Wade actually sent me the article. It got picked up in the paper in Minneapolis. I can't remember the name of the paper, but like Kelly living there too was like, wow, that's the big paper here. And like I almost feel a little bad because I'm sure he read it and stuff, but and I'm sure other people have read it and listened to stuff too, but like then all of a sudden he's off TV and, you know, like, I'm sure it's not my fault, but like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to ever see anybody like, you know, lose an opportunity or whatever, but yeah, he did not have the greatest of debuts. I don't know what's going on with him. They've kind of been a little tight-lipped about it. But I did hear he was on a house show, and then like, I heard he's not on the roster page, and you know, checked it for myself and he's not there. So I don't really know. I'm kind of hoping that they don't give up on him because I do think there's some value there. And plus, you know, Damon Kemp, like there's that rival, the built-in rivalry, just being brothers. But then, you know, they could do the Undertaker Kane thing where they're constantly fighting or together or whatever. So that could be kind of cool. But obviously, you know, he's got to be able to make that transition from amateur wrestling to pro wrestling. Like, I don't know if anybody caught the Angle documentary on Peacock, but like, you know, was it the Angle documentary? I watched the Angle documentary, and then shortly after that, I watched the Chris Van Vliet, CVV, however you pronounce it. Vliet, yeah, I watched his interview with Angle. I think it might have even been that one. But yeah, somebody asked him like how he made that transition, from pro wrestling to amateur wrestling. Why was it so easy for him? And he's like, it wasn't. Like I had to literally forget everything and start over again. And you know, he's like, everybody says that. You know, it seemed like it was so easy for me. It was like it was so hard. It does seem like it came more naturally to him than a lot of people. But unfortunately, like, Gable Stevenson didn't really seem to have that same he couldn't do quite what Kurt Angle did or Chad Gable did, you know, or Jason Jordan for that matter. He was in the Olympics, but kind of same type of deal. He really hasn't been able to do that. So I don't know. We'll see. I've talked about this for a long time at this point. So Bruce, Chad, Gable Stevenson.
Well, we were talking about Baron Corbin before that. First, but that promo,
both of them.
Yeah, that promo I thought was just, how do I put this? It was the worst of these sorts of stereotypical heel promos we see in WWE because it was just predictable. I think it's fine that it's leading to a match between these two, and this is one of the rare WWE heel versus heel matches, even though they're trying to make Breaker a cool guy Breaker. And it's not, I mean, he's better than when he was face, but that wasn't a very high bar to clear. So my only surprise is that with all the vicious words they were speaking, that it's just a regular singles match and it's not some sort of gimmick match. No, you know, it's not an Extreme Rules match. It's not a cage match, not a tables match, none of that. It's just a straight up singles match. And maybe they get a stipulation added on between now and then. They have 2.5 weeks essentially. But for now, it's just a straight up singles match, which I think undersells the intensity of not just the how they've been building to this eventual match, but also it kind of it diminishes a bit of what Breaker did to Von Wagner last week, because I just feel like something like this, there needs to be a bigger payoff and it's a regular singles match. And this is someone who, coming from someone who really doesn't like gimmick matches too much, I'm someone who, you know, my favorite match is those technical masterpieces where they literally spend the whole match within an arm's reach of each other. And then my second favorite type of match is big, meaty men slapping meat. So these sort of gimmick matches aren't necessarily my favorite. Know and appreciate that they have a place within feuds when that feud reaches a certain point. I feel like this is one of those where it could be like that. But as of now, there's nothing. When it comes to Gable Stevenson, I want to just say that it's a Baron Corbin talking point, because it sounds cool to say you retired to gold medalists or ended their careers in WWE. I mean, one really just started and just had one or two matches. So I don't know if you can really say that, but when you keep looking at it and you keep going, I think Stevenson, probably because he didn't qualify, but then doing that house match, probably will come back. And don't be surprised if at No Mercy, Baron Corbin loses the match thanks to Stevenson interference.
All right. He says his fourth point here, and actually I'm gonna read it and then skip to the fifth, because we did actually kind of cover a lot of this earlier in the night. But he says he likes the tease of Keanu James interrupting Becky Lynch during a backstage interview. It set up a possible future feud between the two of them, adding some doubt as to whether or not Stratton would successfully defend her title later on in the night. And even if we were to assume Stratton was winning, James could still extend Lynch's time in NXT with the feud. Then he goes on to say, number five, I think it's a good idea how they're using the Global Heritage Tournament to boost interest and level up. Tom would be proud. It's similar to how they're using the main roster to boost interest in NXT. I go with that. Keep moving on here to six. I really feel like the Creeds need to move up to Raw and or SmackDown. I think they're spinning the wheels in NXT a little bit. It feels like they've done all there is to do. I wasn't really a fan of the Loser Leaves Town debacle with the Schism, and I feel as if they, along with Gallus, are by far the best current team in NXT. The main roster really needs an injection of life into the tag division at the moment. Anyway, I'm all for NXT bringing down – oh, actually, I didn't mean to keep going there. Anything to say on bringing them up to the main roster, the Creed that's the main roster?
So my biggest critique of tonight's show was that there were, outside of the Global Heritage Invitational matches, the number one, so the, basically all the non-major matches were just basically 3.5-minute, fast-paced, no storytelling matches. And that's what happened here with the Creed that you know, Fan Blade. And for me, This was theoretically, you know, their first match back officially on NXT after winning the Loser Leaves Town match and being reinstated. And there really wasn't much to it. To me, the point that stands out is, and I've been saying this for a while, but I think Idris Inoue is going to turn heel soon, and the person he's going to turn heel on is his partner, and his first single shoot, of course, will be with Malik Blade. I just think there's so much potential with Idris Inoue that to not do anything with him right now, or to not at least see what you have in him as a singles wrestler, is sort of hurting both him and the product, because he also has the potential to be someone that can bring a lot to your company and a lot to you know, a fan connection. And I feel like the more they channel that, the better it'll be. At least trying that is better than leaving him and Blade where they are, because they're really not doing anything. So that is kind of my thought on the whole process. For the Creeds, yeah, they've felt like they've been more – they felt like that they needed to be away from NXT for a while. And remember, when they initially lost to the Dyad, I said what I would do here is write them off and not be on TV for months and months and months, and either put them on Raw or SmackDown or bring them back on NXT later. But, of course, they didn't do that. They had them be members of the Schism infiltrating and yada, yada, yada. But there are just some things where, although they might be good at the week-to-week storytelling at certain things, sometimes the long-term outlook that they have just isn't the greatest. And I think this is one of those situations with the Creeds. My only issue with the Creeds moving, though, is I don't know if Ivy Nile is someone that right now you can leave as a solo and expect her. Her matches have been fine. It's more about the promos. And while they're improving, I'm not sure if she's yet at a stage where you trust her to be a solo act.
All right, and his last point here is I'm all for bringing down NXT. I'm all for NXT bringing down main roster wrestlers to help younger talent grow and boost ratings, but is it getting to the point of ridiculousness? Two of NXT's titles are now owned by main roster wrestlers, and every time a big name main roster wrestler comes down, they typically win. There comes a point where this will train the audience not to invest in the developing talent, and also not to watch on weeks where big names aren't on because the developing talent is lesser than. I believe that Todd Martin has mentioned this more than once on The Fix. As always, love the show and go VIP. So it all depends on how they do it, right? Because if they're doing it kind of like how they are right now, where they, yes, Dominic Mysterio and Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, for that matter, they're showing up and doing some stuff down at NXT, and they, so is Dana Brooke, for that matter. But she should probably never have left NXT, so I'm not going to count that. Sorry,
Lacey
Dana.
Evans got the two big ones, and Nia Jax finally should not have left NXT as early as they did.
Yeah, but, you know. But, I mean, so you know, they're coming down, and yes, they both just won titles off of NXT superstars, and so maybe it does make those guys feel a little bit lesser than, but they kind of are. You really wouldn't want to see a developmental talent beat a main roster talent cleanly. I think it would diminish, unless you're about to do something like big and bring them up to the main roster and like blow them up, you know, and really kind of strap the rocket to them. Otherwise, like, it kind of would diminish the main roster star, which is kind of is really what you want to do. You get more eyeballs on your main roster star than your developmental talent. The developmental talent still gets a rub. They're going to get more eyeballs on them than they would have if they didn't have a main roster star, you know, on the show and working with them. So there's that. Now, if we have weeks where we don't have main roster stars on NXT, yeah, ratings may take a bit of a drop, and you know, that could become a bit of a problem. So it's kind of like I keep saying throughout the show tonight, it really depends on what their goal for this show is now. I feel like it's changing. It feels like it's still developmental, but they're now, rather than focusing on having the developmental stars kind of run the show, which worked. It was a bit of a gamble because, I mean, God, those first few months of NXT 2.0 made me want to quit the show.
You almost did. You were on the verge.
Yeah, like I was like, I can't. Like, I love watching NXT, and they just took like my favorite brand and they turned it into garbage. Like I was really like almost done, and but I stuck with it because I enjoy doing this, so I stuck with it. And I'm glad I did because, you know, we got some great stars. We got, you know, Carmelo Hayes and, I mean, hell, even Von Wagner. All the crap I've given him over the years, like what he's doing now I'm invested in and I'm interested in. So, you know, they definitely had some good moments there in NXT 2.0, but I think now they're kind of focused more on still developing these talents, but they also want to just have a fun and entertaining show that is not just going to entertain the fans, but also, you know, bring in some ratings and make NBC a little bit happier. And potentially, we haven't even talked about the fact that today is the first day that WWE is no longer majorly owned by McMahon, which is kind of insane to me.
Yeah, but he's still going to have the most influence on how the company runs, so.
Oh, yeah, sure. But still, it's just kind of the fact that, like, there's still somebody that could overrule him. Like, it probably won't happen, and maybe even if it does, probably won't happen often, but still just kind of blows my mind. And I didn't think we'd see it. I thought he'd probably wind up, I don't know, I always wanted to see him kind of keep it in, like, and pass it on to Triple H and stuff or something, but I don't know. Money talks. But that's not what we were talking about here. Like I said, I think it all depends on what they want to do with the show. And if it is what they, you know, if kind of just having an entertaining show where they showcase, you know, they showcase the developmental talent, but every once in a while we get a couple main, like big time main roster stars to come down here to, you know, give a rub to some of the newer talents and, you know, boost ratings and keep people interested. Why not? And if you don't have ratings and you don't have eyeballs on the product, you're not going to have a show for anybody to wrestle on. So, you know, if that's the formula that they've got to use to make it work and you know, keep everybody happy, you know, networks happy and all that, then, you know, I mean, makes sense from a business perspective. And I am enjoying what they're putting out for a product right now. That doesn't mean you have to enjoy it, but I'm personally enjoying it. I like the direction personally that they're going right now. Bruce, I know we've talked a little bit about the main roster stuff already tonight. I just talked a bit about it, but anything else you want to add on main roster stars down in NXT?
I think I'll touch more on the direction of NXT since you also discussed that toward the end. And yeah, it's a stark difference from where we were at 2.0, that's for sure. I think because the shift to NXT 2.0 was so quick and so sudden, it definitely was an adjustment time, but it took, I think, even longer for people to remember what NXT always was supposed to be when it began, and that was a developmental brand. It wasn't supposed to be the top, basically, indie brand, quote-unquote, in pro wrestling, which is, you know, toward the end of what Black and Gold was, that's what it became, right? It was the best wrestlers that you saw in Ring of Honor, in New Japan, in Impact, coming over and really stabilizing not just the next generation for WWE, but, and most of the men that I'm talking about, on the women's side, there was a lot more of sort of homegrown stars, but you still had your, you know, your Mercedes Moné's come in and become, well, she wasn't Mercedes Moné at the time, but you had Mercedes Varnado come in and become Sasha Banks. You had Bailey coming over from California. You had Becky Lynch over from Ireland. You had Charlotte Flair, of course, coming over from being a collegiate athlete to really anchor things. And Rhea Ripley, you think about her first photo in the Mayan Classic looking like a Charlotte Flair clone to what she's become. So there was more of that development within the women's division in NXT, but in Black and Gold, the men's division was really a lot of, we're signing Shinsuke Nakamura, we're signing Kevin Owens, we're signing Finn Balor, we're signing Kenta, and that didn't work out. But that was sort of what it became. Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano.
Adam Cole,
Undisputed Era in general, right? So
yep.
I think what you have now is the best balance that they've had in about years between being developmental and still having a level of talent that keeps you wanting to watch more. Understanding that as developmental, you're going to see things like mishaps in matches, promos that don't go the best. I mean, you still see that on the main roster, but not at the frequency you're going to see them on NXT. And I think that's fine. And like I said earlier, their use of people from Raw and SmackDown now as compared to with Dolph Ziggler and Natalya is much better, not just because in how they're being utilized, but because in how the storylines are being placed with them within the storyline and then moving forward with their placements and how they're being portrayed from there. So in Baron Corbin, again, came in wanting to win, didn't win. Now he's moved on, and he's feuding with two different people at the same time, essentially. Dana Brooke came in, said she wanted to win, and yet she's here in a lower card feud trying to help Kalani Jordan. Really, it's just Dominic Mysterio and Becky Lynch. And those two, as I said earlier, I think the justifications for both make – you can make those justifications, and I think those outweigh the negatives. So looking forward, when for me, the future outlook of NXT I think is good because, like I said earlier, they're really trying to focus on that week to week. Sometimes that they get lost the long term because of that, but at least what they're trying to do is make their storylines coherent each show to each show so that if you are watching, you are being rewarded for paying attention. And if you are just tuning in or tuning in every now and then, you're still at a point to where it's not much catch up to understand where storylines are at. So for me, you know, Tom Stoppe and I were the biggest proponents of NXT being purely developmental because him and I love developmental. I mean, there's a reason he did Bonus Point, right? We like the developmental side of things. But I think for WWE to have a show on network TV, being purely developmental is out of the question. So this balance, I think, is what they need to maintain moving forward for NXT because it gives the best balance of, you know, star quality and developing talents to be the next stars.
You know, I'm glad you actually said that because earlier tonight, you know, I was watching the second invitational match and I was thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, like it wasn't that long ago that the work rate on NXT was just kind of like crap, you know, and then it wasn't long before that where we had, you know, those absolute bangers, but, you know, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, you know, Shayna Baszler, all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I was starting to come like almost come back around. And then, you know, kind of everybody else is talking about it too. So it's weird. Like it's funny. Like I said earlier, wrestling cyclical, things like that happen.
I mean, think about what early 90s wrestling looked like compared to what late 90s wrestling looked like. And just so, I mean, the thing, you know, things change and sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. I would argue here with NXT, coming out of 2.0 into this basically a 3.0 era, it's for the better.
And, like, yeah, I mean, hell, I mean, think about it. Like, you came out of the 90s, early 90s into the late 90s, and then they almost went back into the early 90s, just kind of like, because a lot of characters again, and just kind of dumb, stupid gimmicks, and very, you know, family-friendly and things like that. Like, you know, and then they went back to actually the halfway decent, no, programming eventually. But, you know, one other thing that you said, too, is the fact that, like, you can kind of drop in and out of NXT whenever you want and you don't have a lot of, you know, storyline to catch up on and all that stuff. They're pretty good with the main roster with that right now, too. Like, I don't necessarily watch Raw or SmackDown from week to week. You know, if like, Wade hits me up or if I know I'm going to be on, you know, Wrestling Night America or something, like, I'll definitely watch main roster that week. But, you know, a lot of times I'll catch highlights on YouTube and read Torch content and, you know, other various things on the internet. And I sometimes don't even do that. And I'll go like a couple few weeks without like paying attention to Raw or SmackDown really. But then just jump right in and like, I feel like I can actually just pick right up where I left off. It's easy to catch up, but I don't feel like I missed much. So, yeah, I think they've been doing a pretty good job at what they've been putting out.
Arguable that WWE has the best video packages in the business. So, and a lot of what they do with those video packages is recap you on sort of the big storylines you need to pay attention to. So I'm not surprised that that's happening because, again, I don't really watch main roster stuff until I pay attention to the Torch. And I don't feel like I'm lost on anything either. So, yeah, I just feel like at a certain point, NXT, especially in 2.0, was not good with that, and they've done a much better job since.
All right, let's see here. We have a few other things that we haven't talked about yet. I want to kind of make this quick because, like,
there wasn't much to talk about.
There was a whole hell of a lot to talk about, and I've had a very, very, very long day. I had to drive to work this morning. I got 10 minutes away from my house and my car died. Thankfully it died in front of my mechanic. Like, what are the odds of that? I literally, the car dies in front of my mechanic's garage. Like, I was able to push it into the driveway. It was fantastic. If you're going to break down, that's the place to do it. But it caused a whole bunch of crap the rest of my day. So I just want to be done. But we're not done quite yet. We have to talk about we talked a bit about Diamond Mine, Anofi, and Blade earlier. I still have that on my list. Let's talk about the weird Joe Gacy and Ava standing outside talking about horticulture. They're talking about trees and branches and all of that stuff. And obviously they're talking about, you know, the schism and the dyad and all of that. And I don't know. It just was like, what are you guys doing? It was, I don't know if they were like almost trying to channel like a Wyatt family type vibe by being outside and showing creepy trees or what, but this just was cringy all the way around. I don't even remember what their point was because I was cringing and facepalming so hard at
it was that so Ava was trying to say that four roots may have become two, and then Gacy said no, the roots are rotten, whatever it is when it comes to that, comes to roots not going bad, that term. And so I thought the symbolism was that they put their hands on a felled tree and not a tree that was already standing.
That's
so
right.
I wonder if this means we're going to see some sort of, I mean, we've been saying rebrand them, and I've been saying keep Ava off TV, just have her completely separate from them. But I think they were supposed to take symbolism from the fact that they put their hands on a tree that was felled, but both their hands are on the tree that they got to stick together. And
yeah.
I guess this actually means that
G-Y-V might be G-O-N-E.
Exactly. Thank you.
No problem. I don't know. I came up, I'm proud of that one. That was good. Yeah, you know, and actually, like, because, I mean, I haven't heard anything, and, you know, I just did a quick Google search, and, you know, nothing came up about them, you know, being released yet, so I'm sure we would have known about it if they had, you know, but they, I know that their contracts were coming up either at the beginning or end of September. I think it was September 30th, if I'm not mistaken, if whatever source I read earlier in the month was accurate anyway. Yeah, so kind of seems like that's where it's at. They didn't quite explain why the roots have become rotten and two of four have become two, but,
I mean,
you know.
They lost. I mean, okay, I was going to say it's self-explanatory because they always freaking lose, but.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Cool. So yeah, there was that. Let's see, what else? We got we had the
Thor. One more match, but
what match was that?
It was Gulak, Dempsey, Kemp, Briggs, Jensen, Bourne.
Oh, you're right. I didn't write that down. Okay, I
that,
wrote about
I mean,
it in hits and misses, but I didn't.
It was the quickest match of the night, and really it was just to set up Miles Bourne turning on the faces after having a little moment with Allen Henley to get the victory for the heels. That's all that happened. And
because whenever I host the show, I, you know, along with the hits and misses, I have like a notepad window open and I just like write down like talking points for the show. And yeah, I forgot to write that one down. So cool. Thank you there. Then there was let's talk about Thea Hale. We haven't talked about Thea Hale yet. She's always my favorite thing to talk about. This is going better than I even thought. Like, I loved the segment tonight. So she showed up with JC Jane in what seemed like a high school cafeteria that had a WWE logo on it.
Yeah, it was just that kitchen place they always sit in the back with.
Yeah, you know, but like I call it the high school cafeteria set. you're kind of sitting there, and a couple of the guys, I don't know their names. I'm sure Tom might. You might know their names. I don't know. But one of them, the shorter of the two, looked somewhat familiar, like I've seen them on TV before, but I don't think I could – I have no idea who they are. But they came over. They started talking to JC a little bit and then started picking on poor Thea Hale there. JC Jane was like, don't you talk to her like that, slaps him in the face. And then, of course – you know, there's naive Thea Hale sitting there going like oh, yeah, I'm supposed to get mad. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm a grown-ass woman, and, like, slaps him in the face. And I'm just like,
kicked him in the balls.
Or kicked him in the balls. Thank you. And I'm like, oh, my God, she doesn't know how to be bad. That's great. This is amazing.
That's the storyline. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, like that, I don't know if maybe that they alluded to that before that and it just hit me at that point, but I'm like, that's fantastic. She is, that's even better than I could have imagined and hoped for this story is the fact that she doesn't know how to be bad. And now JC's going to teach her and there should be some really funny moments, I'm hoping, and some good character development for her there. I'm kind of glad to see her breaking away from Chase University a little bit, or a lot of it, I guess, because, like, there's definitely a ceiling there with that character. I loved what she was doing. I loved the enthusiasm, but there was a ceiling there. And now they gave her the title match against Tiffany. They're doing something else here with her. They see something in her, I really hope that she does a lot of cool things. It's like that energy, man. I'm a big, big Thea Hale fan. Yeah. Let's have you chime in on Thea Hale.
Yeah. So the big thing here is she said next week we're going, or JC Jason, next week we're going shopping. And so we're going to get probably the full blown black outfits for Thea Hale now that she's a heel. And so, yeah, I think this is a very relatable, another relatable storyline, because we've all seen people like this who all of a sudden, you know, they've gone bad and they're really trying hard. They don't know how, but they're trying and they're going to, you know, damn it, they're going to do it sometime. And, you know, eventually I think it's going to end up being that she realizes this isn't who she is at heart and she's just upset and had to work through her feelings. But it's a great character.
Not a phase, Ma.
Well, that's the thing, right? People forget. She's 19. She graduated high school and basically went to WWE, right? So this is relatable because a lot of us had to go through these growing phases in terms of, you know, college and getting away from home, being by yourself, these sorts of things. So with Thea Hale, I think they're doing a good job. And there's really no one else on the roster more unlikable than JC Jane with how she's been booked. She's never been a face. She's known for booting her former tag team partner in the face so hard, a left mark and all these different things, right? So for me, I still think that Thea Hale's, of course, her forte is going to be as a face, but doing this, it works so much because, again, she's fully embodying the character of someone who wants to be bad but isn't sure how, and is taking her cues from the person that kind of took her under her wing because she doesn't want to disappoint them. And in that regard, I think they're doing a good job. Thea Hale is going to quickly outgrow JC Jane's tutelage, and I'm curious to see what happens when Hale realizes that fact.
I am too. It's gonna be fun. It should be fun either way. Or any way it goes, rather. All right. I think with that, that's gonna bring us to the end of our show. I wanna go to bed. It's 12:30 here, and I know it's like what, like dinner time for you? You lucky.
Yeah, it's 6:20.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's right. About dinner time. Cool. I'm Nate Lindberg. You can find me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I do the NXT hits and misses. I have one tonight up on pwtorch.com. If you'd like to read what I thought about the show and more the matches in particular, like I said, I was on on Wrestling Night in America with Greg Parks the other day. I was on the post show with Wade yesterday. So check those out if you haven't. And Bruce, who are you?
I'm Bruce Hazelwood. You can find me on Twitter at B_B253. My report for tonight's NXT is up on both the free and the torch sides, and just you're doing all right.
Yeah, man. We thoughts go out to you, my friend. And you know, Kelly, I'm hoping we'll be back next week and everything's good, and you know, we have the entire gang of idiots back. Because right now we just have two. So we have even less of a brain than Sid did. And with that, I'll let you think about it, and we'll see you next week. Take care.